delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like, it's the Harry and Dana podcast.
I've got a confession to make. It's something I'm not proud of.
Okay.
But I get road rage.
Yes. Yeah. I know this. You drove me around for the first 2 weeks of me being here because I didn't have my car before I hired one to get out of that situation.
To hire a car just to get out of it. Well, I get road rage. Like, it's not bad. Like, I don't get out of the car or anything like that. Like, it's not bad. But I was stuck behind a slow driver yesterday, and it was really getting to me.
Were they doing the speed limit?
No.
Or were you doing over the speed limit?
Oh, a bit of both.
Harry.
No, they were going like 20 kilometres under the speed limit, like crawling. And it was just as we were leaving here from work to drive home to my house. I live in South Muswellbrook. And I was driving behind them, and I was like, oh, I don't want to admit this, but I was driving pretty close to them.
No, you can't. Drive up someone's rear, like that is incredibly frustrating.
But it was frustrating for me. They were going so slow. And then I got to the point where they were still driving very slow, like up to the lights, and I beeped and they didn't move or anything like that. They didn't get over or anything like that. They just stayed there. And you know what the most annoying part was? This is what was growing in fury, was they were going exactly where I was going. So I was driving, and they were driving down exact same...
Why were you in a rush to get to?
Because we'd finished work. I just wanted to get home. And
so you weren't late for anything?
No, I wasn't late for anything.
Just impatient.
I'm just an impatient driver. Road rage. I'm just the worst driver in the Hunter Valley. Anyway, they're driving, and they turn into the same street that I live in, and they were turning in. And it kind of, as they were driving, they drove through the same roundabout and took the same exit that I usually take.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was driving, it kind of dawned on me that I recognised the car.
No.
And I started to back off a little bit, and I could see that they had drove up my street and then drove into my driveway.
Oh, Landlady Christine.
So it was Landlady Christine.
And you've just been giving her greasies through the mirror.
Yeah, and I stupidly didn't realise that it was her car or her driving. Anyway, she pulled into the driveway, and then I pulled up onto the road where I park. I park it on the street. And
did she say anything?
Well, I was too scared to get out of the car.
Oh, so I let. How old are you?
So I let her get out first, go inside, and I was sitting in the car. And
she knows,
like,
you're there.
No, I know.
You pulled up behind her.
Well, obviously, I was tailing her the whole way home. She knows it's me. Anyway, I eventually, like, muster up the courage to get out of my car, and I walk inside, and we start to have a normal conversation.
Oh, so you're just going to ignore it? Yeah, fair.
Anyway, at the end of the conversation, she looks at me and she goes, "In a bit of a rush, are you?" And you know that moment.
Yes, Landlady Christine.
Where your breath leaves your body. I just kind of choked, like I couldn't say anything. And I went like, oh. And I just ended up looking at her and then going to my bedroom. And I stayed in my bedroom for the rest of the night.
Because you're a 16-year-old.
Yes. This morning, this happened on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. This week, Mel Buttle, she quit the show due to her snake phobia.
I have been losing my mind all day, and I feel like shit doing this, but I have to go, unfortunately.
Oh, Melly.
No, it's okay.
Oh, mate.
So she was one of the favourites to win I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and she unexpectedly quit the show. There was a snake spotted near the campsite.
And mind you, this is in Australia this year, so those snakes are deadly.
Yeah, we're talking brown snakes, that kind of
thing. Red-bellied black snakes.
Most venomous snakes in the world. She said, "I have a proper phobia of snakes," she said on camera. Eventually, the comedian decided to quit the show, and her campmates broke down in tears. She goes, "I have to tell you something. I have a huge phobia of snakes. It's not just a fear. It's a massive phobia. It's a really bad phobia. I'm not even afraid they're going to bite me. It's not that. It's the image of them, even a photograph of them." That's a proper phobia.
That is.
Yeah.
Are you... have a phobia of anything?
I do, actually. I have a phobia of spiders.
Really?
Yeah, which hasn't helped me in the past in relationships where, like, you're expected to be the one to kill the spider and you have to call around a real man.
No, I'm not all about that. I'll put a spider in a cup and then slide a piece of paper underneath it and take it outside.
No, I don't even do that. I just kind of cry until they go away. Does it work? It's worked so far. Yeah, I have a proper phobia of spiders. I'm the same as Mel Buttle.
Mm.
I can't look at photographs of them. even. Like, oh, the one, especially ones with like big abdomens.
So if you did see one, what would your reaction be? Like, do you get goosebumps?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, leaving work yesterday, there was a leaf in a spider's web hanging on one of the trees out the front of our building here, and I thought it was a spider. And I jumped about 2 metres onto the other side of the path because I thought I was walking into a spider's web.
But physically, what does it do to you?
It makes you shudder. It makes you, like, I don't get physically sick, but I shudder and I will run or jump away. Like, a spider makes me jump.
Okay.
It's a horrible phobia. You don't have any phobias?
Not that I can recall. I wouldn't call it a phobia because I still do it, but I have a fear of the open ocean. Like, I don't like swimming in open water. I will if other people are doing it, but I wouldn't do it by myself.
But, like, that's not really the same as a phobia.
No,
like,
it's different from a phobia.
As I said, like, even a picture will set me off.
Yeah, no, I don't have that.
654-11981. Maybe make me feel a little bit better this morning. What's your phobia? If you've got a phobia, we'd love to hear from you this morning.
Yeah, I find it really interesting to see how different people react.
Yeah.
Completely respectful. You can remain anonymous if you don't want to have your name out there. But 654-11981, what's your phobia?
All right, we'll take your calls next week on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. Mel Buttle, she quit the show due to a snake phobia. She was visibly shaken after a snake was spotted near the campsite, and she admitted she had a proper phobia of snakes, and she ended up leaving the show. That's not far into the show. It's like day three.
But I completely understand why she did. If it's a crippling phobia, then completely fair enough. And, you know, respect to her. If that's what she's got to do, fair enough.
I probably wouldn't be able to do a campsite scenario because I've got a phobia of spiders. And particularly, again, in Australia, snakes and spiders are like the most venomous in the
world. You live in
the
wrong land, my
friend.
Yeah,
I know. So we thought we'd ask you on 654-11981, what's your phobia?
Let's go to Maddie from Muswellbrook. Maddie, what's your phobia?
Guys, I am deadly afraid of birds.
Of birds?
Really? That's literally the opposite to me.
That's Dana's favourite animal, yeah.
No, I can't do it. And their beaks are just there to peck your eyes out.
So how did this start when you were a kid?
Yeah, I got attacked by a swan.
You got attacked by a swan?
Okay. No, I understand that because I got chased by a pack of geese as a kid too. So that is quite scary as a toddler.
Oh, yeah, and it's traumatised me for life and now I can't even look at a pigeon without being scared.
So it's across the board, not even small birds you're a fan of?
Can't do small birds. I know that the small birds won't hurt me, but I still can't, like, go near them.
I'm wondering how you just walk outside normally, like, and look at the sky.
This season, I don't leave the house, okay?
654-11981 is our number. Molly from Denman, what's your phobia?
I have a phobia of tattoos.
What?
What?
Yeah.
So
I know, it's so embarrassing. Isn't it?
You would hate me. I've got my whole arm covered. So that would terrify you.
I couldn't hug you, that's for sure.
Oh, really? What is it about it?
I don't know. I've had it like my whole life, since I was a little kid. It just freaks me out that it's in your skin and that you can't get rid of it. And it makes me, like, if someone gets close to me with tattoos, I get like sweaty and like that claustrophobic feeling. It's so bad.
Is it the idea that it's needles? Because I can understand that part of it. Or is it the fact that it's the ink?
It's the fact that it's in the skin and that you can't get it out of the skin. I don't know why. And
so it's the permanent.
Someone else who has it as well. Like, I'm not the only one.
So can I ask?
Strange.
Can I ask a question? So when it comes to dating, like, has that ever happened? Because a lot of people have got tattoos. Like, a lot of blokes have got tattoos.
This is my main issue in life, yes. A lot of people have tattoos. A lot of the time you don't know, and then you find out later and you think, oh, no, this could be an issue.
No, Molly, I completely respect that. That's fair enough. If that's a make or break, you've got to have your boundaries somewhere.
None of my exes have had tattoos, though, like just by fluke.
Oh, really?
So you just can,
you rocked
them
up to the day. Was it like an online dating situation? You rocked up and they didn't have them?
Like, everyone I've met has just not had it. And then it's got to the point where it's gone along and I've been like, I don't know, it must just come up. And then I realise I don't have any and I'm like, yep, we're all good.
Maybe,
carry on.
Maybe you're just manifesting tattoo-free men.
It's getting harder, though, I'll tell you. The more single I'm getting, it's harder.
Let's go to Cessnock now where Brent is. Hi, Brent.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Really good. What are you scared of? What's your phobia?
Well, I don't think it's an irrational one. I'm scared of scarecrows.
Okay, so
So
you avoid like cornfields and stuff like that.
I could never make it as a farmer. That's a blatant fact. But no, everyone always gives me shit about it. But I honestly just don't think it's irrational because it's got scare right there in the name. It's to be scary.
But how do you feel about that now you're put in the category with a crow?
Oh, look, crows are some of the smartest birds.
Do you think that, though?
I'm not bad about that at all. I mean, I've seen me on a Sunday morning. It's no better.
Dana, a couple of weeks back, just before New Year's, I said that these were going to be my resolutions. Yes. Quit smoking, which I've already prepared for. I've bought the patches. I'm going to go dry for 6 months. For half the year, I'm not going to have a drink.
6 months?
And then finally get fit.
Now, I remember this well. You set the bar incredibly high for yourself.
Mm. And then we also said this. You claimed that there should be some stakes.
There needs to be stakes. At the end of the year, if on the show you have not done them.
Well, then we'll have to do like a nudie run or something.
You said it.
No, I don't want to, but that would be like the stakes that you would imagine. That's something that I would do.
Well, you've just come up with the stakes there, so.
Well, and I regret saying that.
Why? What have you done?
Well, I feel like this is an honour system, so I have to come clean when I have broken my resolutions. And on the way home yesterday after work.
Yes.
I got Mackey's.
Mackie D's.
Yeah, I got McDonald's. I just got some nuggets and that was it, and maybe a Fanta.
At what point driving... Okay, there's a decision-making process that you decide to go to Macca's, and then as you're driving to Macca's, and then there's turning into Macca's and then making a decision of what you're going to have. At any point does it cross your mind, nudie run?
Because when you don't have like addictions like I do. You get cravings. And those cravings, they blind you to everything else that you can't see. It's like you have blinkers on. You can't see anything else other than fulfilling the craving that you've got at the time. So when I was driving...
You're talking about this very medically. Is that actually a thing or are you making this up?
Like sugar, salt, like nicotine, alcohol, they're addictions. And I've got them pretty badly. So yesterday when I was driving to Mackey's, I had blinkers on. I couldn't think. I couldn't see anything. All I wanted was nuggets and a Fanta.
I need to buy you know those blinkers that they put on the eyes of the horse so they can't see anything in the
periphery? That's what you feel like you've got.
So then when you can't see Macca's when you go past it. Because
I could wear that. But that might be a little dangerous while driving, but yes. Thank you anyway for the
suggestion.
Well,
it was a good joke from me, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a nice joke, yeah. Huh. now tell me, with these stakes that you brought up the stakes in the first place.
I just thought there needed to be some stakes. You were the one that actually came up with the steak. Well, I wasn't going to make you do anything
It was just as an example, but I suppose it's set in stone now.
Well, yes, it is if you've said it on the radio.
What are your thoughts on kicking off the New Year's resolution starting next Monday?
Kicking it off with a nudie run?
No, not a nudie run next Monday. Like I've had, it's been a week.
Yeah, but who's to say that it comes next Monday and you're not going to push it to the next Monday and then we're at December 31st and you're like, I'll do it next year.
In that case, then I'll have to do the nudie run.
So, but how far are we delaying this?
Just I've got a Bucks night this weekend. We're just delaying it to next Monday. That's it.
You promise?
I'm on the radio right now, I promise.
You promise what?
I promise that I'll stick to my New Year's resolution starting from next Monday, and if I don't, I'll do a nudie run. It's a big call. I'm a little bit nervous about it myself.
You heard it here first.
The Big Three.
For Upper Hunters Toyota specialists for 30 years, Singleton Toyota.
This is where we get you across the biggest three news stories of the day. Wow, it's been absolutely unbelievable scenes in the US Capitol over the last couple of days, and world leaders have condemned the violent scenes in Washington after supporters of US President Donald Trump stormed the Capitol building on Wednesday US time. Many leaders have called for peace and an orderly transition of power, describing what happened as horrifying and an attack on democracy. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson condemned the disgraceful scenes, said the United States stands for democracy around the world and it is now vital there should be a peaceful and orderly transfer of power, he wrote on Twitter. In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel even said those who stormed the US legislature were attackers and rioters. And she felt angry and also sad after seeing pictures from the scene. Even our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, who's a close US ally, condemned the distressing scenes and said he looked forward to a peaceful transfer of power. This is what President-elect Joe Biden said yesterday.
Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America, do not represent who we are.
I think a lot, I even saw tweets from celebrities last night saying how embarrassed they were about it all.
And how horrific and how it isn't a representation of a lot of America and how ashamed they are.
Or a democracy for that matter.
This next story is directly related to the storming of the Capitol building in Washington. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has announced the block on Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts, and it will be indefinite and last at least until he leaves office. So Zuckerberg has come out and said, the shocking events of the last 24 hours clearly demonstrate that President Donald Trump intends to use his remaining time in office to undermine the peaceful and lawful transition from power to his elected successor, Joe Biden. So he's said that because he's using their platforms to condone, and encourage his supporters at the Capitol building, they have decided to remove him and block him from his accounts until further notice. This has not been done before on this scale for a president in the US.
Twitter and Facebook as well.
Twitter and Facebook, YouTube have taken down a video that he posted as well. Yeah. Instagram as well. So he just doesn't have access to these tools that he's used in the past to be able to gain a huge following.
To keep in mind, this is a sitting US president. He's still the US president for 13 days.
Mm.
Like, this is a sitting US president that they've essentially blocked on social media. It's unbelievable. Let's talk about the Rona. Scott Morrison. He's fast-tracked the COVID-19 vaccine rollout with the first jabs coming next month. The first jabs were due to be given in March. However, Scott Morrison expects that to be mid to late February now. He said they'll be able to vaccinate up to 80,000 people every week. He said it's moving considerably faster than normal vaccination processes would occur in Australia, but without cutting corners, ensuring that everything is ticked that needs to be ticked along the way, he said during a press conference. We believe we'll be able to commence vaccinations of high-priority workers in mid to late February. You see, revealed that it's going to be like a 5-tier system. I'm not going to go through the entire tiered system, but phase one is up to 1.4 million doses of vaccine that will be given to quarantine and border workers, frontline healthcare workers, the aged care and disability staff and residents. So they're going to be first.
Yeah, so the vulnerable in our society, essentially, and the most affected. It also has news come out in the last 24 hours that because of the new mutant strain in the UK, those Australians who are boarding flights in the UK to come home will need to conduct a rapid COVID test prior to getting on the plane and another one once you arrive in Australia. All other Australians boarding flights to come home from other countries will need to conduct a regular COVID test, and masks are compulsory.
That's your big three.
The kick from Sauer. Yeah. The kick from Sauer. It's a goal. It's a goal.
The Sports Download with Jamie Soward.
We're joined here with the legendary Jamie Soward. How are you doing this morning, Jamie?
I'm not too bad. I'm surprised you guys are back so early, though. I thought you guys were big time. That's how you sent the email to me. We're big time. We're coming back late January. But you're back early.
We don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but have we? Happy New Year, by the way.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's a bit of a wide start, isn't it, for the world again? But it's business as usual in the Soward household, so that's good.
Oh, that's good. Well, tell us, there's been a bit of drama with the Knights at the moment. What do you think of Mitchell Pearce stepping down as the captain?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think any time a leader within your group has poor discipline, there's always going to come under scrutiny, from the outside and the media. And it's a huge story because he's such an influential player up there. And now he's stepped down from the captaincy. Regardless of what has happened in his personal life, we're happy. I think everyone's happy to respect that. But when it involves the club and you're talking about who's going to be the next captain in a team that is craving leadership, that is a huge story. So Tyson Frizzell's just moved there from the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Mm-hmm. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't talked about the captaincy. But fortunately for Mitchell Pearce, another indiscretion Another time he's had to front the media and apologise for something he's done. So hopefully this is the very, very last time because he's a very good player.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's go to the cricket now. What did you think of Will Pukowski's debut?
I thought it was outstanding. You think about Melbourne and how much the Australian openers, you know, struggled with Joe Burns and all the stuff around that. David Warner comes in, he struggles yesterday. But to come on and make 50-0 debut, I remember how nervous I was making my debut back in 2005. That's how old I am. But it was fantastic. You see some fresh blood in there, and now the Australians have sort of set themselves up. Labuschagne and Smith are in now. They look like they've got themselves set. So, unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to complete this test, though, because the weather in Sydney has been diabolical for a while now. But Will Pukowski, 62 on debut, absolutely outstanding. Unfortunately, David Warner struggled, but we've probably got our two best batsmen in now.
Yeah, well, hopefully the weather holds off. Can you tell us a little bit about that moment of your debut when you hit the NRL for the first time? What was that feeling like?
Well, I was nervous as I ran out, and at the time Newcastle had, I think they had like 15 players out of their top sort of 17 guys. So it was a perfect time for me to debut. There would have been about 3,000 people there on a Sunday afternoon at the Sydney Football Stadium. And it was May 8th, and I didn't do too much. I would hate to watch the game back because I played some games after that where I was a lot more involved. But I think when you work that hard, Dana, to get to that position, much like you guys in the radio, once you get your own show, it's like, wow, I'm finally here. And then you, the first 5 minutes, you're a little bit scratchy, but then you settle into it because that's what you've done your whole life. So, I would hate. I've never watched the game back, to be honest. So maybe I'll have to do that and get back to you.
Well, we've never listened back to our very first show, and I would advise against it. Maybe don't watch, just in case. Before we let you go, I saw something on the news this week about you. You're doing some work for the Dragons.
Yeah, I've been there. So I joined the Dragons last year as a kicking coach and a consultant. And, it's sort of amped up and it gets a little bit of media here and there. So I don't like it when the media comes down because they take photos and the stuff they've given me. Well, I'm not my playing weight.
An extra chin or two?
And I'm a bit of a dad bod at the moment. So I don't like it when the media comes down. But I'm loving it. The Dragons have been training really, really well. So I'm really enjoying it. And, I'm looking forward to seeing how they progress throughout the year.
Well, we're looking forward to having the insider goss on the Dragons anyway.
No worries. Anything for you guys.
Cheers, Jamie. We'll chat to you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Exposed.
In entertainment news, a whole scope of celebrities have spoken out about the events in Washington yesterday. After the Capitol building was stormed by Trump supporters, Cardi B took to Twitter to say, "Where are the National Guard?" Now, this is an incredibly valid point considering during the Black Lives Matter protests, there was a whole National Guard deployed. There was only police from the Capitol building there yesterday when this happened. So
yeah, I saw that.
It does take into question whether there is underlying racism taking place in America at the moment. Well, it's not underlying, is it? It's very overt. Pink said, as a United States citizen and the daughter of two veterans, I'm ashamed of what is happening in Washington. This is a sad day for America. And singer John Legend has come out and wasn't afraid to share his thoughts. He said, anyone who voted for this tragic narcissist mess of a president bears responsibility for this debacle today. He has shown you exactly who he was all along.
No, that's not beating around the bush, is it?
No, straight to the point. Yeah. Exactly what he thinks. Next up is Donald Trump, and he has been locked out of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat for user violations. Now, founder and CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, tweeted, "Over the last several years, we have allowed President Trump to use our platform consistent with our own rules. We did this because we believe that the public has a right to the broadest possible access to political speech, even controversial speech, but the current context is now fundamentally different, involving the use of our platform to incite violent insurrection against the democratically elected government." So they're pretty much saying that it's too risky to have him on their platforms because of the way he is behaving.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable that they're literally silencing or censoring
a sitting president. Like, the guy is still president for, I think, 13 days.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I don't think, like, these measures have never been put in place before.
Ever. And this is history in the making. This is something that I do not think we will forget. And they have said for the next 12, 13 days, they are locking him out of these accounts so that he cannot have a voice and incite any more violence. So this is massive. I've got myself into yet another cringeworthy situation.
Oh, Dana, you're getting worse than I am.
I know.
What's going on?
So this week I was at the supermarket and I ran into a mate of mine, and he was there with his mum, and I've never met his mum before. So I went to say hello, and it was the awkward, she went in for a hug, and then I had put my hand out, and then she went to put her hand out, and then we all just got lost in translation, and I gripped her fist.
What? What, was she going in for the fist bump?
No, she was retracting her hand, and I...
And you I've done that before.
Extended her hand, and then it was just...
Isn't that weird?
An awkward, disastrous mess. And you can't recover from it apart from say, oh, it's lovely to meet you.
Yeah. What a mess.
And I think that this infuriates me beyond belief that there should be a general consensus in Australia of how you greet people. And I know it's harder even now because of COVID, because you don't know if you should be shaking hands or someone sticks out their elbow like a chicken.
Well, middle of last year, obviously during COVID, people were doing the elbow bump. I
still think that's around, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
When I was working in the city, they were doing fist bump, which I didn't like. I'd rather just not do anything at all.
I don't think you can pull that off.
No, I'm not very good at it. No, no, I'm not cool enough for it, really, let's be honest. I didn't like it. When I lived overseas, you do the double kiss.
Well, they do that in France, don't they? And it's a general consensus. Everybody does it. When you say hello, you do the kiss on one cheek and then the kiss on the other. And you always go for the left first. So there's no confusion. Remember when you go in, have you had that moment where you've gone for like a kiss on the cheek and you do like the head dance with the chicken neck dance where you're trying to decide which side you go first?
No, you just go to the left all the time.
Well, maybe I don't have it together enough.
I hated doing it. Because you'd meet people and they'd say, oh, this is my wife. And you'd go, oh, okay, here we go. And you have to go in for the double kiss. And you're like, and I always felt awkward. I'm like, I don't even know your wife. This is the first time I'm meeting them. And I'm like getting
you're
my lips close to their cheeks.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't think it was appropriate, by the way. But that was how they used to do it overseas. I find in Australia it appears to be the handshake for men and women. But there's no real definitive rule on how to do it.
No, there isn't. And it annoys me because then if you're meeting friends of friends, it's kind of like you really have to be quite assertive to make it not awkward, right? Mm. But I want a general consensus. How do you greet people? We're talking pre-COVID. What did you do? Because I imagine post-vaccine, we'll get back to this life.
Yeah,
and I need a general consensus of how do I greet people that I don't know?
So pre-COVID, what was your go-to greeting? And then obviously post-COVID, we'll go back to that.
Exactly.
We'll go back to that. So
give us a call, 654-11981. How do you greet people? Help me out, please. I've been really getting myself into some sticky situations recently. And this week I headed to the supermarket and I ran into a mate of mine and he had his mum with him and I've never met her before. And she went in to greet me with a hug and I went for a handshake and we clashed in the middle and she retracted her hand and I grabbed her fist and it was very awkward and
that
I hated
awful,
it.
Awful. Just awful.
But I want a general consensus. We're talking pre-COVID. How did you greet people? Because we're going to go back to this life after COVID, after everyone gets a vaccine, that I guess we're going to go back to kissing people on the cheek or giving people a cuddle. And I want a hard and fast rule because I need to know a blanket rule of how I'm meant to greet people that you don't know. So we've put it out there on 654-11981. Let's go to Sam in Singleton. Sam, how are you?
Good. How are you guys going?
Good.
Really good. How do you greet people in Australia? Do you do the awkward handshake? Do you give people a kiss on the cheek? This is pre-COVID, of course.
I do like a little awkward half wave, just sort of like from the elbow up. Just, hey. And if you do that, I've found, like, just before they reach you, that sort of says, I don't want a handshake or hug, so they don't go in for anything extra.
That's a good plan because then it's you can you've done your greeting and you can't do another one.
Yeah. So they'll normally just be like, oh, hey, and they won't do anything. But the awkward half wave with the hand just gets it done, crosses that barrier before you're too close and it becomes more awkward.
Okay, I'm going to implement the awkward half wave. I like it, and especially in COVID times, we shouldn't be touching each other anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, Sam, is that across the board, like even if it's your close mates?
Sometimes.
Don't come near me.
Yeah, don't touch me.
Let's go to Michelle now in Singleton. How do you greet people?
Well, we actually have a sneaky, friendly kiss and cuddle, COVID kiss and cuddle for friends. When there's no one around. And
but if you're meeting someone new, Michelle, when you it kind of you go in for the awkward, maybe you go for a hug and they go for a kiss on the cheek and you end up getting their ear and it's just what do you kind of go for? What's your definitive? You'll definitely go in for a kiss and a cuddle?
Yeah, you know what? I still sort of do, but you know what? If it's someone that's like a little bit like that I feel uncomfortable with, mm-hmm. someone a little bit sleazy, greasy.
Yeah.
What do you do?
You tend to aim towards the back of their neck, like their chin, like the back of their chin, so you don't like get any like sloppy bits around their mouth. Oh.
So you still go for the kiss on the cheek, though. That's so interesting.
Yeah, you do because you know why? Because you don't want to feel like you're alienating them. Like you don't want to look like you're being the rude person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're that person and everybody knows you're that person, you don't want to look like you're alienating and missing out.
So you're very inclusive, Michelle. I love that for you.
But by the same token, you don't want to allow them to slobber all over you either.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want the puppy dog kiss.
Yeah.
Leave that snail trail down the side of your
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.